my gosh, you know what that means.
It's time for Get Lit.
Woo-hoo! Get
your favorite book club show.
Happy hour book club show. Wait a minute. Wait. And today we will talk a little bit later about what our special
classy cocktail
is. But first, we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Let you know that support for Get Lit comes on. Support for Get Lit on KD&K comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday until 10, and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works hosts Roxy's Birthday Bash with Carp this Saturday night, starting at 9 o'clock. More information at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook. And hey, Erin, go book.
Hi, Abe. How's it going?
Doing pretty well. And we have got a special in-studio guest today.
We sure do.
Just like the song said, I found out you wrote the book I read. And we have got DJ Hill here with us. And we spotlighted two books this month.
Yes, we had two short books, so we decided to read I Might Regret This, Essays, Drawings, Vulnerabilities, and Other Stuff by comedian Abby Jacobson. And then we also decided to do showcase the poetry book by Miss DJ Hill that we have coming and sitting in the studio with us. She's a local author and I would say artist and philanthropist, and she was so kind to grace us with her presence and share her book with us today.
Yeah, it's awesome because April is Poetry Month, if you didn't know that. They like to heap a lot of things on April. It's National Alcohol Abuse Awareness Month.
Oh.
It's National VD Month.
You have a really... thank God the poetry balances out that nasty stuff.
When your name's April, you tend to learn these kinds of things. So, yeah, you know, I like the Poetry Month. Is a much sweeter, nicer way to bring April in.
Than VD right? Month.
Yeah, VD Month, which we hope is just anyway. Stay away from that. But you never know. It's happy hours. So we have got some, we've got some beer here. We've got nice bottle, brown bottle of beer.
Yeah.
And in honor of Abby, we were trying to think of what it was she might drink.
Yeah.
And we also have shots of Fireball.
And we're really drinking. I know sometimes people wonder, but yeah, it's really happening.
Oh yeah.
We really cracked that beverage.
I had somebody say, oh my God, you guys really are drinking, aren't you? They had no doubt.
So. I mean, I'm always giggly, but it just makes me, I'm even more giggly during the show. Anyway, so yeah, so if you, and people aren't aware, I Might Regret This by Abby Jacobson. She is on a show called Broad City with another female comedian named... Alana Glazier, and I think the show is absolutely hilarious.
Well, you got me watching it.
Good. Yeah. It's if you haven't seen it, please do on your own time. And so she also wrote a book, and it came out in October 2018. And over Christmas, I saw it and had to get it. And so I told April, I'm like, you got to read this book. It's hilarious.
It is really funny.
Abby is going through, so she's taking a road trip by herself from New York to California to start. She's starting some new filming project in California, but she's taking a two-week road
trip. She's out pitching.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so you get this little short stories of her insomnia, of her nerdy little CD album cover art doodles,
her road trip food. Her road trip food. I love that. She talks about food quite a bit.
Which we all love.
Yes, we all do love that. We all do. All right, that's one thing our happy hour has been lacking. And I think we had snacks the first time, but we've just gone straight to the happy.
Well, it's hard to talk and have snacks, and then we're spitting into the microphone.
This is a true story.
Drinking's a lot easier. I can take a quick drink while you're talking and keep going.
and DJ was kind enough to actually jump in and read the book also. What did you think about it?
I am so excited you guys are first doing this, and secondly that you introduced me to Abby because I had never heard of her. I mean, this may be a generational thing, but I started reading it, and you get hooked right away.
Oh, yeah.
She's so funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, we were just talking about things that you are and are not allowed to mention on air, but I think this is okay. I actually... So I started watching Broad City because of this book and because of Erin. And it actually is available at your local library. So you can pick up Broad City, put a hold on that, and you can watch it.
I love it.
I was telling Erin the other night, I said, yeah, I started watching it. And I said, the voice I had given her, because I always give the characters voices when I read a book, mm-hmm. The voice I had given her was nothing like what her real voice is.
Well, she in the show, she plays like a 20-something, yeah. but I looked up in real life, she's 35.
Oh, okay.
I think her, she and Alana are both in their 30s, but they play like these mid-20s characters who are just off the wall, crazy, you know, trying to figure life out. They're in polyamorous relationships and they're partying all the time. And it's just one goofy scene after another. Like you said, getting locked out of their apartment.
Yeah, and having the key on them.
Yeah, having the key on them the whole time, but getting locked out of their apartment because it's getting fumigated, and then lying and saying they live in the neighbor's apartment and some creepy guy comes to unlock the door for him. And it's just this whole rigmarole of laughs. And I feel like that's what the book is. It's
the
hilarious.
Book is too. Yeah, definitely. The book, you know, as you were saying, because she kind of starts off in the beginning of it about she's had this breakup that, you know,
and it was her first female relationship. Yeah. So it was hitting her in a different way than she had experienced before.
Yeah, she had never felt like she'd really been in love before, but she met this gal and it was just, you know, she fell in love, fell hard for her. And then
she got knocked off the pedestal.
She got knocked down. But it's hilarious. The things that she talks about. I love she talks about, this is so LA too. I mean, I'm from Southern California, so I feel like I don't know, like could totally connect to this. In one part, she's talking about the like the snacks at the mm-hmm. different studios and stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Yes. And the different production studios like Hulu or HBO or those. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
And she's talking about wanting to take stuff. And one of them, she goes in and there's those cereal canister things that you can do. And she's like, can I go to a meeting with a bowl of cereal? How weird would that be? Yeah.
But the perks are.
The perks. Are, yeah.
And that's what's so great, I think, about her and especially the show is it's kind of like, you know, she's a young woman. She's working, but she doesn't have a ton of money. She's trying to become a graphic designer. But she's also very humble. You know, she knows that she's not like this brilliant artist. The drawings in the book are kind of rudimentary in a sense, but she knows that. And it's very this, she has a very innocent childlike side to her, but in a beautiful, and she's not childlike. You know, I don't know how to explain that. She holds being a woman and embraces her younger side as well in this beautiful space, I think.
Oh, yeah. And that was another thing. The three of us were just, I'm going to throw this out there. We were just talking about, you know, why do women apologize for things? And why do we feel guilty for things? And I said, a long time ago, I heard this analogy that women are taught to take the broken cookie, which means that when a platter of cookies have been offered to you, you always make sure you take the broken one and you leave the good cookies for someone else. So then we brought that around to the nachos. I mean, how many people take the best nacho? No, the guys at the table do.
No,
but the girls, we take this outer nacho.
Oh, I'm ending that right now. Next time the plate comes, I'm going to take the top one with the most stuff. And I hope everybody gets mad. And I'm going to be like, well, you didn't take it. My fault.
You take the best nacho. Ladies out there, sorry, guys. I know you're listening too. But you know what? You better be fast because we are going to start this.
The crap nachos and the broken cookies are
a thing of the past. They're gone.
Well, didn't she explore that pretty much? She would go through these pages that it was just basically a list.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say, why have I always thought this? I can't believe I always thought this. Where did this come from? So she was questioning herself through the whole book,
and
which I really appreciated. Yeah. And how we need to do that in our lives.
Yeah, because she talks about having her bat mitzvah and the training she went through for that. And the same thing, you know, that you're taught, well, you need to be this certain way. But, you know, darn it. I'm not the free salsa. I'm the guacamole. You got to pay, right?
I think you posted that the other day on one of your social media things, and I loved it. That's right. You got to pay for this guacamole.
Yeah. So, I just felt like it was a really good book. It was very funny. As it says on the back, it was intimate and brave, and it's very true. I felt like, you know, it's a memoir. You know, I like that kind of thing.
Well, and I was just going to say a few things about, I just like to talk about the author sometimes. So Abby Jacobson, she grew up in Pennsylvania, and she studied fine arts and video production at Maryland Institute College of Art, where she also studied stand-up comedy for a year and then graduated in 2006 with a BFA in general fine arts. So she is a true artist. She knows what she's doing. And then, as we were saying, Broad City made its broadcast television premiere in January of 2014 and was received with positive reviews and strong ratings, becoming Comedy Central's highest rated first season since 2012.
Wow. I know, because she talks about that she straight out wanted to become a serious actor. She talks about that in the book. And that I didn't actually recognize the name of the school that she said she went to. But what did she last a week? Because she could get a refund back if she left early.
What she did spend time at the Upright Citizens Brigade, which is huge among comedians. And that's where she met Alana and where they kind of hit it off and became partners. And just so you guys know, she hasn't written any other reading books, but she has published two. Oh, excuse me. She has. She has published two coloring books.
Oh.
Color This Book, New York City, and Color This Book, San Francisco. And then also an illustrated book titled Carry This Book, which was published in October 2016. And it features colorful, humorous illustrations of the imagined contents of various celebrities' bags.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can only imagine.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that sounds great. Did you have a passage you wanted to read? No, sometimes you do.
I don't from this book. Okay. I think we have a poem from DJ's book, but not on this one.
Well, before we move on to DJ's book, it's time for us to do our shots. So hold on just a moment. I'm going to step away.
DJ doesn't even have a choice. We're just going to do it. This is what happens when you.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm reading. I mean,
DJ's getting a shot.
But you know, there's one other thing. I don't know about you guys, but that text about Amy Poehler. When Amy Poehler, that they just said, we'll just reach out to her and there's not a chance.
And she was all over
it. And she was all over it. And she continued to support them. Are you kidding me?
In the book that she talks about reaching out to Amy Poehler for support and being in the show and stuff. Yeah. Well, I don't know, DJ, if you've seen the show, but if you do ever watch it, they have they had Hillary Clinton on the show. They had Whoopi Goldberg. They have all kinds of small cameos of people all the time. So they're not any small potatoes.
Cheers, ladies. This
Cheers.
Is road trip drinking.
Oh, boy.
Beer and a shot of Fireball.
There goes my afternoon workout. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, goodness. Oh.
Really? That was like a red hot. Come on.
It was like a red hot.
All right. We need to party more, ladies. You did not take that so smoothly.
We're old.
Stop it right now. All right. So that's... Go ahead, DJ.
No. I was just going to... One other thing that really struck me about the book, and of course, it's the end of the book, and we always kind of hang on that, but was the point where the woman... I would say older woman, but then I would be, you know, talking about my age, that she's swimming like through the middle of this pack pool and she's having this connection with this woman. I thought that was beautiful, beautiful way to end the book.
So. Oh, yeah. No, I highly recommend it. Again, the name of the book is I Might Regret This, Essays, Drawings, and Vulnerabilities and Other Stuff by Abby Jacobson. And give it a read. If you didn't jump in the pool and read it this month, you can... watch for it. And our second featured book by DJ Hill is called
Homespun Mercies. Yeah.
And I'm really curious about the title. How did you come up with the title? Because I've read the book and I kind of have an idea, but I wonder where the mercies came in.
That's kind of an interesting thing. So I was working with a collage artist and poet. Her name is Deborah Keenan. Check out her work if you haven't. And we were talking about ways to kind of draw a metaphor for what this book is about. And it really is about mercy, mercy we give to ourselves, mercy we give to other people. And how does that look like? And it really is something you have to manufacture or create for yourself. And so manufacture kind of didn't really work. So homespun is something you literally create for yourself out of things that are around you. And that's how that came to be.
That's beautiful. I love it.
That's wonderful. That's nice. So would you like to read one of your poems there?
I certainly could. Yay. So I did. It's anyone that has the book. It's on page 105. I decided to do a poem a day one December. You'll like this, April. I had just closed a organic egg business.
Oh, wow.
And it was a big deal. And I was going through some kind of trauma about that whole thing. And
Were you broody?
Was I? I was. Good one. I like that a lot. I was, yes, no, you didn't want to be around me at that time. But so I decided to kind of mix things up and did a poem a month a poem a day, and thought, I'm just going to try and get inspirations from somewhere, sit down, write the poem, not think about it, put it out there. And so this was in response to a Facebook post that a friend of mine had posted about this conversation that was actually going on in the car. And I hated to say it, but it was one of the funniest things it was very sad, but it was also funny. And so I wrote this poem, and it's actually going to be in a collection of work that's called Gone Dogs, about dogs we've loved and lost.
Okay, I'll cry right now.
Just I know. We've all had them. We've all had them, right?
Yes, and with Hal and Harriet.
Yeah, so
we
this
haven't lost her.
This wasn't about my dog, but I kind of, there was some humor, but there was also some finality in this. So the name of the book, or the name of the poem, is Harry. My friend called to say she's driving her mother with her dog Harry to the animal hospital. She didn't say what ails the canine, sharing instead her mother's choosing to pass the time on her cell, making chit-chat with her boyfriend. As poor, miserable Harry lay languishing on the stiff back seat, hardly raising his head or his mournful eyes, until her mother said to the boyfriend, "Couldn't you just talk to Harry? Hearing your voice might make him feel better." So the mother, not the friend, cradled the phone close to the pooch's long chocolate ear, and the two listened as boyfriend crooned, "It's okay, boy. You'll be okay. Good dog, good boy." Harry didn't lift his sorrowful head from the red vinyl seat. His eyes seemed to say to mother, boyfriend, friend, "Good God, it's all come to this."
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
That's why I wanted you to read that. I'm like, it's so sad. Yet at the same time, the dog's like, "Dear God, this is my life, talking to the boyfriend on the phone."
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to interject a little story, because this is what we do, right?
Yeah.
So it just reminds me of driving down the 405 with my ex-boyfriend, who was not my ex at that moment. And he had this little dog, and we were taking him to the vet, and we were chatting about the dog and how exciting he's got this little dog, and da-da-da. And I said something about my dad, and all the color went out of his face, out of my boyfriend's face. He turned and looked at me while he was driving. I'll never forget the look, and he said, "Oh, my God, your sister called. Your dad died last night." But he forgot to tell me, because we were so excited about this puppy of his.
Oh, my gosh. I'm speechless.
I just looked at him and I said, "What?" Now, my dad had been sick, so I'm not going to act like this was something completely out of the blue.
But still, yeah, but come still, on.
But, yeah. Oh, no. And my eyes must have said it all, because the next thing out of his mouth was, "I'll buy you a plane ticket." And I said, "Oh, hell yeah, you will."
Oh, my God, yeah. April. I can't believe that.
Thank God
he's an ex. No, yeah. Well...
He forgot.
Oh, You better stop me talking.
He had puppy mind. Okay.
Puppy mind.
Okay.
No excuses.
I know. Ooh, I know. Man. But you know what? When you were reading that, I thought of that story came to mind.
There really is humor.
There has to be.
You know, and I think sometimes that gets us through some things that are kind of painful to talk about, if we can interject something else into it.
So this book was written over the course of years?
It was written over the course of 21 years.
Wow.
Which is a long time.
That's a lot of change in your life.
It is a lot of change.
Oh, wow.
It is a lot of change. And when I was assembling this collection of poetry, I was nervous that over the course of 21 years, what I had written, the first poem I had written in this book versus the last poem, not necessarily in that order, that they would not gel, it would not
be cohesive,
tell a cohesive story. And I had a wise fellow poet say, "You have to assume that anything you write in a certain period of time is connecting itself.
Well,
you may
sure.
not realize it at the time, but your mind is trying to work through something, and you just trust it'll be. Right.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right. And I'm just going to say really quick, we want to mention that support for Get Lit comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday until 10, and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works hosts Roxy's birthday bash with Carp this Saturday night starting at 9. More information at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
All right. Thank you so much to them. We love the support you give to Get Lit. And I just wanted to... to say that we're going to probably close out here pretty soon here with one more reading. We've got about 5 more minutes, so we'd love to hear another.
Yeah, and I would like to just point out to your listeners that April is National Poetry Month. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. And as such, we will be having all of the libraries in the Valley are inviting poets to participate in readings. I'll be posting those and I can share those with you.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we're going to have poetry nights all up and down the Valley, which I think is great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we sound like delicious dish.
And this is really a treat for us to have the author in here with us on Get Lit.
I agree. This is our first in-house
interview.
Well, interview at all.
The book and I are very happy to have you here.
Yes, we are.
Well, I could write another book and, we could just continue. I'm actually working on a children's book right now as well as recording the audiobook for this book.
Awesome.
So, yeah. With Dave next door. So Carbondale's so great. There's so much talent.
There is.
Yeah.
So what is this?
I'm actually going to read this poem called Drive-By Shoes, if that would be okay with you.
Yes.
Driving along the freeway today, listening to NPR's debate on the threat of ISIS, terrorists enlisting even from the state of Minnesota Nice. When a Dodge Caravan speeding past rolled down its window and out soared a single shoe.
I've always wondered how they get there. Sorry.
No explanation or apology. No brake lights signaling a change of heart. Just an errant loafer discarded for not carrying its weight. So this is how it happens, I thought, recalling the sight of another lone shoe kicked in the median strip of our shoe-lined interstates, while its counterpart of sole and heel trembles on the floorboard, a last-ditch effort to escape detection.
That's
as soon
fantastic.
As you started reading, I remembered that and thought that's humorous. Because you see that stuff on the side of the road and you're like,
right?
How the hell did that get
right? There's actually a Facebook page called Shoes on the Side of the Road. So if you see one, post a pic, and either you or someone else can write a little ditty about it. I know.
I love that.
For a while, my daughter and I had this thing about discarded furniture on the side of the road. We'd be like, how is there a couch on the side of the 5 freeway?
Right, you know, and where nothing is.
It's like, let's go sit on it. That was like our joke. And we were always going to stop and go sit on the couches and just, because you would just see them.
Do you think it was like a moving fiasco and they're like, it's too bad we don't have room for it and just got moved to the
side? I have no idea. I think the couch was just trying to, I'm not moving.
The couch did not want that new home.
Yeah, it didn't want to move. But I don't know. But it's so funny because it's not a completely, it's sort of like the shoes. It was never an isolated thing. It seems like we saw them quite often.
Right. What about the socks that lose their match in the dryer?
They turn into Tupperware lids.
They also don't have a mate.
Yeah. You didn't know that? Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, they come back as Tupperware lids. Mm. Yeah, yeah, plastic lids.
Well, we should mention our book for next month. Yes. I got it from the library today and started reading it, and I have to say it's pretty magical. The book we're going to read next month is called The Hidden Life of Trees, How They Feel, What They Communicate by Peter Wallenben. I hope I said that right.
Okay.
But we'll post it on Facebook.
You know me and name. So.
Facebook and Instagram. So if you want to tune in next month and have read the book, The Hidden Life of Trees.
Sounds good. Well, we want to thank DJ so much for coming
in. Thank you.
And thank you for writing that book. It's amazing.
Thank you so
much. All right. Here we go. We're going to leave you with, what is this song? It is
More Talking Heads.
More Talking Heads. Why do I not see what it is? What is it? It's
the road trip song.
It's a road trip song. It doesn't matter. Here we go.
See you next month.
See you next month.